we have good times, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. But our responsibility, our charge, our mission is to take the gospel to them that are lost.
Right.
Yeah. Zacchaeus was lost.
Yes, he was.
He was a chief tax collector.
Yes, he was.
You understand what that means? He had other tax collectors collecting for him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
He was in charge. And in those days, a tax collector, as we know from Matthew, and anytime you study, I tell people there's a difference in reading the word, which you need to do every day,
right,
and studying the word. You need to do that every week.
Yes.
When you study the word, you find out that in Israel, tax collectors was about as low as you can get.
Right.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, amen, when you study, you find out that the tax collectors, amen, were treated like Gentiles.
Yeah.
They were outcasts in all of Israel.
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. They were low of the low.
You might have to preach on them.
But this is the same individual that Jesus is going to a house with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So it says, amen, that he sought to see Jesus who he was, but he couldn't because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So Luke 19:5 says, and when he came to the place, he looked up and saw him. See, we got to get to the place, church, where we're looking for the lost.
Yes.
We got to get to the place, amen, where we're recognizing, amen, hallelujah, that whatever state they're in, amen, if they do not have Jesus, amen, we need to be encouraging them and seeking out them and saying, hey, if you won't come to my house, you mind if I come to your house? Come on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you ever done it, man, you don't always go in. Well, thus says the word of God in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. No. That you get there, but you don't get there the first day. You get there by having fellowship with them.
Yes.
Share with them, encourage them. Let them know, amen, you just like them. The only difference is Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior.
Right.
You have issues and problems and concerns just like they do. But the difference is you have Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. We don't come to bring condemnation. See, I don't know if you caught it, but in the text, amen, when Zacchaeus was talking to the Lord, that's why he says, let me read it to you. He says, amen. He said, and when Jesus came in, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Verse 6, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He did it with joyfully, right? But then he says this, verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to you, for his fellow condemnation. Something inside of Zacchaeus, he recognized within himself that, man, I've been faking and sipping and tipping with me, but I can't do it with this guy. I got to come clean. And so he says, Lord, he said, if I've wronged anybody, if I've taken anything from anybody, his feeling condemnation, his sin was beginning to rise up in him and take hold of him. Amen. It wasn't that Jesus did not already know this, but he was giving him the same opportunity that he's given to each one of us. Let him, that's what, confess our sin.
Yes, sir.
He says, I'll give half of my goods to the poor, and I will, if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I'll restore four to all. Hallelujah. And in case you didn't know, because I said the word, that's what the word. Hebrews 3:41, no one had to give a fifth. He said, I'll give four times. That's how much he was feeling the condemnation. Not from Christ, but within himself, because he knew he was wrong.
Right.
You know, you don't have to tell a sinner they're sinning.
No.
They already know that. I talk about me. When I was going to bust hell wide open, you didn't have to tell me. I knew it.
Right.
I had no illusion about the way I was living. I had no illusion about the things I was doing and saying. I knew that I was not doing what God would have me to do, but I was doing it anyway. So you didn't have to tell me I was sinning. The Lord didn't say anything to him. You want to get the picture? I can see Jesus standing at the tree, standing there. And he's like, you just start confessing. You know, like you see in the movie sometime, God starts, oh, yeah, I didn't mean to do it, but I was just start coming out of him.
That's right.
But the Lord knew that was going to happen. He wanted that to happen. He wanted the people to see this.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. So Zacchaeus, amen, he confesses his sin, amen, before the Lord. Hallelujah. And in the midst of all of that, he said, that's fine, that's going to be out. Church, can we get back to that place where the sinner will come and be around us?
Yeah.
Come on, come on. That's right. You got that right.
Can we get back to that place where we really become the hands and the feet of the Lord?
Amen.
Yes.
See, the church is supposed to be be just me, you, and just us people.
Come on,
I know you read, Pew, the different things, church attendance across the world, across the nation, is down like 25-30%. It is, and that's going to happen. But how many of you know that if the Holy Ghost had mine? He don't follow statistics. He don't follow the number. The Holy Ghost, he got his own plan. His plan is that we're going to build a house up. His plan is, I want to do what the rich ruler did, amen. We're just going to open the door. We're going to invite everybody in. Rub it down the byways and the highways. Get them up the blind, crooked, and crazy, bring them on in. The prostitute that's selling drugs, doing her thing, bring them on in. Well, they out of prison, they were accused of murder, bring them on in. Beating on their wife, beating on their husband, beating on their children. Bring them on in. That's the only way they're going to get delivered. That's the only way they're going to get saved. We got to get to that place where we say, come on in. Come on. The Father Jesus is inviting them.
Yes.
But he's using us.
Yes.
Come on.
I like it.
I'm trying to contain myself. I'm trying to get to where
I like it.
So Jesus has this encounter with Zacchaeus. And in that encounter, amen, some folks stood around and said, oh my Lord, I'm going to that sinner's house.
Yeah.
You know, when I was young, we used to say them up in smoke, you know that term.
Yes.
No, I mean, yes, no. I'm from Indianapolis, you know. I never thought I'd tell you this. I'm retired military. I've been retired almost 21 years come August 31st, and it just blew my mind. I've been retired that long. I retired from the military. I was 42 years old. But when I was in the military and I'm thinking about retirement and everything, in my head, this is what I said before, that I was a myself, I'm going to live in the big city, so I'm going to club, keep partying, doing all this kind of stuff. You know, all that kind of stuff. That's what I thought. I didn't know about what God was going to do. I didn't know he was going to pull me out of the mire and clean. I didn't know he was going to deliver me.
Come on,
clean me up. I didn't know he was going to realize that he was going to take out the skin and stuff and fill me up with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I didn't know. They look like me. Sometimes they don't. He said, don't worry about it, son. Just preach what I tell you to preach.
Yes.
Do it the way I tell you to do it. Do it where I tell you to do it. How I tell you to do it. And where I tell you to do it. Now I'll take care of everything. When we do it like that, that's when you start saying folks getting saved.
Yes.
When you do it like that, that's when you start saying folks getting healed.
Yes.
As I was raised in a ministry in Germany, Church of God, Church of God ministry, but in Germany, amen, hallelujah. And our bishop, amen, he one of them old time preachers, amen. And I can tell you, I see with my own eyes, we had a brother in this church, a German brother married to a Jewish girl.
Come on.
You know this guy.
Yeah.
They both love the Lord. And when that sister used to worship the Lord, she didn't know, in the Jewish man, she'd have a prayer coffee, she'll get to dance around with it. And you could almost be in 6 BC with the Lord, amen. It was just awesome, the Spirit of God just coming out. But he had one foot, he had one leg shorter than the other. He had to wear a shoe with an extra little window so they'd be eating. We had the evangelist come in, and the preacher was all proud when the Holy Ghost was moving, all the things was happening. And he had the brother sit down on the pew right there, amen. Took his shoes off, amen. You could see it was like this, amen. All I can tell you, amen, I see with my own eyes. He began to pray with that brother, amen. Had his hands on his leg, on his feet. And I don't know about you, amen, but I saw a miracle that day. I saw the man's leg just straight.
Yes,
I can tell you, I'm going to share one more with you.
Yes.
These are things that happened in my life just blew my mind. We were Benny Hinn came to Germany. And we was in a city called Essex, E-S-S-E-X. And somehow I remember how it happened when we got put on the team. Me and a couple of brothers I was with, folks I was with, and our ministry, somehow our ministry got picked to provide some folks to be on the team to get on the platform with Benny Hinn. Okay? So, he started to preach that night, and I think they, so there was a whole like 10,000 We had like 12,000 internet people sitting on the floor in an hour. The fire department came by. The fire department told him, if they sit on the floor, nobody gets up and everything, okay, we're gonna let it go off. Right? So the fire department's in the back, you know, watching, monitoring everything, place the pool. So Benny Hinn's up here, he's preaching the same, and they're singing the old gospel song. And you can just feel the spirit of God. Like the Holy Ghost just floating in the air like a mist. You can just feel it. He had a bodyguard. That's why I call him a bodyguard, one of the guys to work with. We went on platform, yet we was on this side of the platform. On the ground. This guy was a black dude. He was about 6'6". I don't know how much he was, like 300-pound number, pure one. Look like he should have been playing football from the NFL. Benny Hinn was doing this thing where the Lord was using, and he woke his hand, and the guy said, "Hey, look," he said, "when Pastor waved his hand, he got a dunk." I said, "What?" So when Pastor waved his hand, he got a dunk. That's all. I didn't quite get what he was saying. So Benny Hinn knew what he's doing. He waved his hand across the crowd like this, and that big dude ducked. And we don't have a platform; we on the floor over here. He ducked down like his eyes. I said, "What the hell?" What was that? Right. So we got called up on the platform. That's when he's calling all the folks. I'll be praying with the people. There was a wheelchair and all this thing. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. He got him on the platform, and my pastor and a bunch of pastors we had, they always had a pastor sitting together, a big crowd and everything. There was about 10 rows deep of pastors, right? They had the pastor stand up. Now, I tell my pastor, old school pastor, he ain't going to go for that. He ain't going for that. Either going to be real or he ain't going that. He had all the folks stand up. We're on the platform. He said what he said. Next thing I know, he did again. And them pastors struck. It was like an accordion. And I said, "Oh, my Lord." Then he turned around. We all over on the platform. I'm supposed to be doing what he's doing. Next thing I know, he did. And this was when God opened up Russia to the gospel. There was a bunch of pastors that came up there and came to the revival that he was having in Essex Church. And he said, those pastors said, "Where they're from," there, Benny Hinn said that night. He said, God had been dealing with him by going to Russia, but he didn't know how to get in. He didn't know how to make it happen and all those things. But he called the pastors, there was about 8 or 9, maybe 10. He called the folks up here, everybody, there's a bunch of other folks on the platform. We're behind the main man. By this time, I'd call on them, right? And Benny Hinn stopped with me, he does like here. I mean, he learned this one. And what, and I don't know if you ever have watched Benny Hinn, but now I know for myself, he never touches anybody. He never puts that, not that he's too good, but I think he does it so that people can say he pushed them down. He never touches anybody. He normally just blows away his hand. He blew, and there's about 40 or 50 of us on this platform. He did like this. All of us were just going down. And then it was like one of those long things. He just felt drunk as I don't know what in the spirit. Because I know the other drunk better. He wasn't that kind of drunk.
I know what you're talking about.
Drunk in the spirit.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Miller, why you go through that litany of all that? What's that got to do with what you're talking about?
Come on now.
What I'm trying to tell you, amen, is that if the church is going to be the church of the living God, if we're going to do what God has called us to do, we got to get out of playing church and allow the Holy Spirit back in. We got to allow the Holy Spirit, amen, get a hold of the pastors, preachers, and the teachers. Get a hold of the congregations, amen. We got to allow the Holy Spirit, amen, to grab some of us, amen, and shake us up in the spirit, amen. So that when we speak, amen, all of a sudden people start feeling a change in the atmosphere.
Yes.
You got it, my friend. That's good.
So the word says, hallelujah, here in Luke 19, talking about Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus. And how it is that some folks say, man, these naysayers, they both want to look at the church and look at folks say, "Oh my goodness, why are they hanging out with him?" Jesus dealt with it, but he blew them off. See, Jesus wasn't concerned about what people say.
No,
church, we got to get past worrying about what people say these days.
That's right.
That's right. We got to let it go.
Come on.
And I'm not saying it's going to be obedient to God. I'm not saying that this church or your pastors, amen, are not doing what God's called them to do. Don't take that. That's the devil. That's a lie. That's the
right
thing.
Right.
What the Lord has me come to say tonight, amen, is to stir up the body of Christ. Maybe it's been good, but I got a phrase, amen. Good is okay, but I want God. I want some God. I want God. Amen. there's a way that seems right unto a man, but it leads to destruction. See, there's some things we can do that's okay and it's right. It's not necessarily a sin or anything like that, but God has a better way.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes,
He does.
So He's saying, I'm sitting at the door, church. Let me in. But when I come, I'm not coming by myself.
No.
I'm going to bring some drugs. I'm going to bring some prostitutes. Yeah. I'm going to bring some homosexuals and some lesbians. I'm going to bring some white kids and some child children. I'm going to bring some adulterers and some adulteresses. Amen. I'm going to bring all them in. Do you mind if I bring them into church?
Come on.
Bring them on.
Yes. See, there was some folks looking at Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. They had a problem with it. See, they would not invite Zacchaeus to the service.
No, that's right.
He didn't go into the temple. Because they don't know what you are about, sir. You have to ask you to leave. But that's not the Jesus that we serve.
That's right.
The Jesus that we serve says, come on. They want to come. But they says, come as you are. In other words, you ain't got to try to get yourself cleaned up in the spirit. I do the cleaning, the Lord said. You just show up. See, some folks say, man, they. See, when I was going to the devil's church, the devil's temple, the club, you know, nightclub, all those kind of things, amen. You know, I made the point to buy the best suit of clothes I could buy. Come on, when I went to the devil's club, amen, I back in the day, I used to have all the ties and all the bling, they say today, the rings, all this stuff. Hey, you know, you go in there, and you step on my $80 shoe, I'm a problem.
Come on.
But when I got saved, yeah, and the Lord delivered me,
yes,
from my
sin, Lord.
In my mind, God. And this is just Brother Miller, okay, this is just Brother Miller, in my mind. People say, well, why just come as you are? I said, you don't have to wear a suit, Brother Miller. You ain't got to wear a tie. I said, you right, I don't have to. But for me, I can't do that. Because when I was going to the devil's church, I was wearing a suit and tie. Yeah. I was trying to look my best.
Yeah.
But if your best happened to be whatever you got on, praise God, go for it.
Amen.
That's why I wear so many different things. Again, I got robes and all those things. Because when I go in the pulpit, amen, hallelujah, I know if you look in the Old Testament, when they went to the pulpit, they didn't go in the regular clothes. You remember they had you physically wash, ceremonially wash with prayer and everything? Then they put on what? The robe. Before they went in. Mm-hmm. So that's the text I use, Brother Willie used, for why I do the way I do.
Come on, Brother.
Again, man, I don't know why you're saying all that. When they come into church, don't pay attention to what they look like. Somebody out there is crying right now. There's somebody out there under that bridge over in Brampton. There's somebody that's pushing a car, amen, looking for a place to stay tonight. There's somebody out there that they ran away from home and they want to go home, but she can't go home because she's afraid of what mom and daddy gonna say. And she's afraid of telling mom and daddy, I got pregnant. And I was, there's somebody out there. There's a son out there, amen, that thought he was doing the right thing, not even being a man, but now he finds himself strung out on drugs and everything. He don't know what to do. There's somebody out there that's crying out for Jesus.
Yeah.
So we gotta go out and church them out there just like Jesus did.
Good, brother. Good.
Yes.
You can't let the naysayer say, look who they letting in that church. Mm-hmm. Come go on and look. Matter of fact, you can come too if you want.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
You got it.
We can clean ourselves up on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I can put on my nice suit and everything.
Right.
Pastor can put on his nice suit, put on a nice dress, and I'll even put on your nice words and everything. We come into the church and we can look good.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Ain't nothing wrong with looking good.
That's right.
But the Lord told those Pharisees, He said, you know, you're like a cup. You know, on the outside, nice and shiny, bright.
That's
but
right.
But if you look over in the cup, see, you're full of filth. God don't want us to be like that. He don't mind that they clean them on the outside, but He's more concerned about the inside. He's more concerned that our spirit right. Are we willing to go to the mouth and tell them and love them? Jesus loves you, and you are welcome in the house of the living God.
That's right.
That's
right.
There are people that need our prayers. Some of them are outside the church. Some of them are in the church. You know how many, and this blows my mind, Pastor. They said in the Evangelism magazine that I just read, it said that the average age of pastors in our country today is about 50 years old. And if you know, you say, well, so what? What that means is that there's no young blood.
That's right.
See, this church is just like buying room up the street.
Right.
Bunch of us older folks there. Nothing wrong with that.
No, sir.
But where are the young folk at?
Come on.
Right.
We need them, brother.
Many churches.
Yes. Well, the Lord called Pastor to move to his next season. Amen. Who's going to be sitting in the pulpit?
That's right.
That's right.
He might have time.
They're first hurting inside the church, outside the church. They need our prayers. They need our love. Hallelujah. All over the towns, all over the villages. That's why we got to get out of the building.
Come on.
It can't be about my church and your church and his church and their church.
Yes.
It can't be about his church.
Yes.
It's got to be about Jesus. Our ministry in Germany, amen. The name of our ministry there, the name of our church there was IWC, International Worship Center. The Lord gave me a scripture for that church. It was Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. And then there it says, from all kindreds, from all nations, from all tongues, they came unto the Lord. The Lord said, the reason I'm telling you that, he says, because this church is going to be open to everybody. Amen. And so when we became the senior pastor for the I retired at Fort Campbell about 16 months later. Now go through the whole thing. The Lord sent us to Germany. Amen. Hallelujah. We began pastoring there officially. Amen. In 2001, actually. Amen. We've been pastoring before then when I was a soldier, but this is when after I retired, when the Lord sent us back. So we get to Hanau, Germany, where they had us at. Amen. And in that church, they had about 10 members. Amen. In that church. Had a Hispanic congregation that was part of that body of about 30 or 40. So I met with the Hispanic leadership, amen, and met with the leadership that was left, the folks that was left in the body, told them what I felt like God. They told us to do in that place and how we're going to conduct business, amen. And we just begin to preach the gospel. I thank the Lord. I'm not bragging on Brother Will. This is the Holy Ghost, amen.
That's right.
That first service, we had those 10 folks. By the end of that month, our first service was the first Sunday in August of 2002. By the end of that month, we had jumped to 40. Amen. 30 or 40. When it was all said and done, amen, we was running about between my Hispanic fellowship and the English-speaking fellowship, and we was running right around 180 to 200 people. Right? But one of the things God has to do, I'm staying here, what God has to do, I recognize, amen, that some of the Hispanic-speaking brothers and sisters, especially the ones that were not soldiers, amen, their English was not that good. And so it would have been difficult and almost possibly useless for them to be sitting under me, hearing me preach and teach every week, amen, and them not really getting all of it.
Right.
And
so
right.
I appointed, amen, my Hispanic leaders, amen, and I let them have a separate Sunday services, amen, and separate Bible studies, except for the first Sunday of the month. First Sunday of the month, the entire body came together.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. We already met in the same building. We met first, and my Hispanic service met in the afternoon. But on first Sunday, we all came to church together.
Amen.
And I can tell you right now, yeah, that's some of the best worship and praise. I didn't always preach it. Sometimes I let other folks preach it. But my Lord, because we had folks we had Germans, we had Americans, we had Hispanics from all kind of Hispanic countries in the world. Amen. We had Russians, amen, that were living in Germany. And we had folks that filled up, just like the Lord said, from our kindreds, from our nation, from our tongues.
Thank you, Jesus.
We all didn't look alike. We all didn't talk alike. We all didn't come from the same places. But when the Holy Spirit got involved,
amen.
There was a spirit of fellowship. There was a spirit, amen, of love. Hallelujah. We had our Christmases together. We did our Thanksgivings together, all those type of things. Hallelujah. it was just off the chains. The young folks used to say, I don't know if they still say that now. You know,
I'll say it.
Again, I'm trying to pound this point, trying to beat this down. That when Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus, there were folks there that said, what's he doing hanging out with him?
Right.
So, yeah.
Don't he know he a sinner?
Yeah.
There are always going to be somebody to say, why are you hanging out with me?
That's right. Come on. Yeah, I won't say that. Come on.
But if we're going to be ecclesia, if we're going to be the called out ones, we're called out from that mess. We're called out from that division. We're called out from that separation. Because the body of Christ is one. The body of Christ is one. You need communication. There ain't no black heaven. There ain't no white heaven. There ain't no American heaven. There ain't no black heaven. There ain't no English heaven. It's just heaven. Always going to be naysayers. But just like Jesus didn't let the naysayers hinder him, we don't let the naysayers hinder us. We got to get to that place, saints. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, we just know that God has told us to do what we're doing. So in Luke 19, verse 19, it says this. It says, and Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Let me stop right there. If you want salvation to come to your home, you want salvation to be risen up in this place.
Come on.
See, if everybody here is saved, that's great, that's wonderful. What about your neighbor? What about your co-worker? What about the lady you run into at the grocery store? Are they saved? What about your son and your daughters?
Yeah.
Are they saved?
Yeah.
Jesus told him, he said, salvation has come to this house.
Yeah.
Why does salvation show up? Because Jesus was willing to go to the sinner.
Yeah, that's right.
He was willing to go to the sinner. Notice the sinner didn't come to Jesus. The sinner was looking for Jesus. See, there's a whole lot of people looking for Jesus. They just don't know they're looking for Jesus.
That's right.
Michael Jordan said this after he retired. He said that when he was on the basketball court, he felt like it was his sanctuary. You heard this? He said he felt like this was his sanctuary. He said he felt like when he was on that basketball, he could do whatever he wanted to do. He just felt free. What he didn't understand, he has not yet to understand as far as I know. Amen. The reason he was so driven to be the best at basketball, because that was the sanctuary, that's where he felt comfortable. But what he was really trying to do, there's an emptiness in him that can only be filled by Jesus. People that are strung out on drugs, amen. There's an emptiness in them that can only be filled by Jesus. Them folks, amen, messed up in all kind of sexual immorality. The reason they're messed up is they're trying to fill an emptiness that can only be filled by Jesus. The drugs won't do it. Alcohol won't do it. Your sex won't do it. Your wife, your mama, your daddy, your husband will not do it. Your grandchildren, as much as we love them, they will not feel that emptiness in us. That's why the world is searching. That's why the world is searching. And the church is going to let them know what you're searching for. It's right here. It's right here. Salvation has come. Jesus is the great shepherd. He relentlessly seeking. He relentlessly saving. One person at a time. But he's doing it through us. He wants us to get the Lord just gave you this Zacchaeus mentality. He wants us, amen, to be able to look at folks like Zacchaeus and say, come on. He wants us to be able to look at folks like Zacchaeus and say, can I come to your house?
Yes.
You mind if we break bread together? Want to have lunch together? How about a cup of coffee? Hallelujah. Jesus is the great shepherd.
Yes, he is.
And as his disciples are mission, laid out to us in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Yes.
Lord, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them. See, we got to wait for teaching. We got to wait for discipleship, Pastor. You know, some folks, I'm standing here, but there have been some folks, some churches, they just want to get to the pews.
Yes, sir.
But they left out the teaching.
Right.
Yes.
That's why they get pure for a little while. Because they got no foundation. What the word says is like the word falling on stubby ground. Eventually, amen.
Yes, yes.
They take hold for a minute or two, and then eventually they walk out the door. Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Church, it's time for us to get busy.
Yes, sir.
It's time for us to get busy. I tell you, this is not the time to give up, to give out, or to give in. This is the time, amen, to go into battle. This is the time to raise up the blood-stained banner of Christ. This is the time. Why? Because Jesus